Bow our heads in prayer. Gracious, most merciful Father, in this Easter season, we are reminded of that tremendous gift, the gift of forgiveness that has been given to each of us. May your word empower us and guide us so that we may live in the power of that forgiveness that only Christ can bring. In your most precious name, we enter into this day of celebration. Amen. This morning, the epistle reading is the text listed in your bulletin, and yet really there is such a correlation between the epistle reading from 1 John, and also the text of the gospel. Those disciples there in the upper room, locked. Why? Out of fear. As we talked about last week, how fear can grip our lives. Here we see them there in the upper room after they know about the resurrection of Christ, and still they are gripped in fear. Yes, they know that he has risen, and yet they are there and fearful, as that text tells us, because they fear the Jews. Why? They too were Jews, so why fear the Jews? They feared the Jews because they wielded the law. They had seen its power. They had seen what the Jews had done, and now they too fear them. And yet, it is the Jews who wield the law, and it is the law that oftentimes is no friend to a sinner. It is the law that accuses us. It is the law that makes us aware of our guilt, and sometimes causes us to live in such great fear. Disciples, their upper room, fearful, behind locked doors, and Jesus enters into that room with some very simple words. Peace. My peace I give to you. To be in the kingdom of God, one needs the assurance of that peace that passes all understanding, of that peace that only God can bring to our lives. Can you imagine? Here are Christ's disciples taking this journey of forgiveness. They don't fully understand everything. They are locked in an upper room. And here Jesus enters and says, peace. Not just any peace, but the peace that only he can bring to our lives. You see, I think we need to think about this text a little bit, and I think we need to think about the lessons today, because it's hard for us, just as it was for the disciples, to take that journey of forgiveness. Our relationship to one another is based on God's forgiveness of our lives, and forgiveness for the believer is a journey that continues throughout our life. Imagine after Easter, here are the disciples still filled with confusion, misunderstanding, and questions, and troubled. Does that relate to your life at times? Of course it does. How many times are we troubled? How many times are we confused, or we have misunderstandings about things? So what does Christ's resurrection mean for them? What about all that Jesus had taught them? And for the next 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus will appear to them on numerous occasions, trying to get them to get a grip and a handle on what it is like to live in the power of Christ's resurrection. And so we go then to the epistle lesson from 1 John, where there we hear these opening words, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. What a different tone! In the gospel reading, we have the disciples filled with fear. And here, as First John is being written, what does he talk about? That you may have our joy, and that that joy may be complete within you. Yes, that peace spoken of in the inner room, in the upper room, brings to them the realization of what that means for their lives. Yes, in Christ and in Christ's peace, we have eternal life. We have forgiveness. We have fellowship with God. Not by our own doing. Our joy is made complete in what God has already done for us throughout our Lenten journey and also our Holy Week. And even as Easter comes, we go there to the cross, to a hill, to death, to dying, and then the power of the resurrection. And the real power is revealed in an empty tomb. God taking on Satan in all of his fullness, destroying Satan's power, the power of death, and proclaiming to every believer that we have life. And as the gospel ends, and these things are written that you may have life in his name, and that believing you, and that you may have that life. The risen Christ, right here in our midst, as we worship together on this, what we call Low Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, when, yeah, because everybody's been here for Easter, maybe we don't have quite the attendance we usually do. And yet the reality is that that still presence, that still peace, that still joy is ours. Christ in our midst, the risen Christ. We bear his name. Luther put it best when he said, a Christian man is righteous and a sinner at the same time, holy and profane, an enemy of God and a child of God. Think about that. That's our relationship with Christ. We are both saint and sinner. Simul justus et peccator. Both saint and sinner. It's the law that reveals the nature, our sinful nature, that sinful flesh that oftentimes wants its own way. Yet, as we look at the epistle reading, the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. We have a light that shines in our lives. It is the light of Christ's love and forgiveness and grace to each one of us. Oh, we struggle because the old Adam continually raises his head almost every day. We need to recognize, as believing Christians, the power of God's forgiveness, and that our sinful nature is very real. It's with us each and every day. We struggle. We struggle oftentimes because we live under the law. And yet, the power is in what Christ has accomplished for us. And in our world, many want to ignore the very nature of sin, ignore God's love and grace. Surely, We can make it on our own terms. Let's face it. We're better than so many others, so we can do it. But do you have issues with coworkers? Do you struggle with family members and have issues with them? Do you hold on to things? And I mean hold on to things far longer than you should have. Sometimes, not just months, but years you hold on to things. Do your past sins cling to you? How often do we don't want to forget the hurt that someone causes us? We want to hold on because that hurt is a reminder of that pain. Think about your family here at Trinity. Are there issues that haunt you? Some of the things that happened not just recently, but long ago. You look around this room today with fellow worshipers, and some of them you look at and they're beautiful people, and others you look at and you say, I remember what you did to me or what you said to me. Because that hurt is real. The reason I go back between the epistle and the gospel this morning is, you see, as Jesus entered into the room with his followers, look at what their lives were like. Why were they there, fearful as they were? Because they had deserted him. They had left him. They were wondering, hurting, and in pain. And yet here stands Jesus in the midst of them. Peace I give to you. You see, Jesus knows our sins. Jesus knows our hurts. And here he stands in the midst of us to offer us that peace that only he can give. We need to take that journey of forgiveness as a believer. Do we believe the words that Christ is the light of the world, that Christ overcomes sin, death, and the power of the devil? Because if we do, then we have to work on that gift of forgiveness that has been given to us. When we come together in worship, we come realizing we are in the presence of our Lord. He is here with us. He is both God and man, doing for us what we could not do. And as he is with us, he offers us his peace. The only real true peace in the midst of the turmoils of life. He can look into every one of our hearts. He knows every one of our sins. And yet he welcomes us. In a few moments, he welcomes us to come to his table, to partake of body and blood under bread and wine, to have that connection with him. The only close connection we really have is in Lord's Supper. As we begin to work together during the coming months, I want you to think about forgiveness as a believer. Because it's an important piece of everything we are going to do moving forward. Think about broken relationships. Broken relationships between brothers and sisters in Christ. And I ask you to pray for one another, that through the power of the forgiveness of the cross, through the power of Christ's death and resurrection, that somehow he will bring us closer together. As a family, as a believing community. Yes, it's so easy to get caught up with the wrongs, the sins, the offenses, And we sometimes, in doing that, overlook the power of forgiveness. And that's what we need to share with one another. As Christ entered into that room with his disciples, with all of their stains, what he offered to them was forgiveness, life, salvation. Pray for one another. Pray for your congregation. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your staff. Pray for your community. For the power of forgiveness is what makes us great. Living it out in the fullness of our ministry together. It is that light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And that's our challenge as we move forward. To live in the power of that forgiveness that only Christ brings to our lives. And these things are written that you may believe, and that believing you may have life in his name. That's what gives us power. Live it, rejoice in it, celebrate it, and welcome one another as brothers and sisters in Christ.